It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 517. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. This show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word on Skype. I have a great voicemail for later in the show about encryption that you must listen to. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, facebook.com/MikeTechShow, and also facebook.com/MikeNationNet. You can check out the wiki at mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all the past shows, the audio, links to the show notes. It's a great resource. A couple things I want to mention before I start out. On tech-vets.com, the Tech Vets website, I will be posting tonight a link to a YouTube video of a slideshow of all of the photos that were taken by Photo Ray that he did a phenomenal job at the meetup in Arizona. So you'll get to see a lot of photographs, and you want to check that out. I will tweet and Facebook it when I post that up, and that will happen tonight if you haven't already seen it. And thank you, Photo Ray, and that's Robert Gay, who did a phenomenal job. He's a great photographer. Thank you so much for all your hard work at the meetup, and it was a pleasure meeting with you. Thank you so much. I have a ton of consulting stories that I'm going to sift through tonight. That involve all kinds of topics. The first one's going to be about a church. The next one, a real estate agent. I'm also going to give you my take on the Apple announcement of their new products and what I'm doing and why. And it's going to be the consulting view of what Apple's doing that involves me, and some things to consider before you make that choice of the next smartphone that you're going to buy. To go along with the encryption voicemail, I have some comments and a couple emails on encryption. So we're going to talk about whole hard drive encryption tonight. And I've covered that topic a few times, but this is new information that you have to hear. Let me get started by talking about last Thursday. I have to help the daycare at a church. One of my clients volunteers and does some work at his local church. And when they have computer problems, he brings me in and I do work. And I do it very, very inexpensive, a very low rate. One of the things, this daycare, the people that run it, the one lady was in tears Wednesday night talking to my client, John. Their main laptop totally crashed that hosts the database for all the information for the daycare, for all the students, the parents, how much they owe, how much they've been paying. And then there's another function for this laptop. It controls the codes to the front door that the parents use, their personal code, and it gets recorded to come in and pick up their child, drop off their child. It's a security piece to this. The whole system crashed, the laptop, and it's an older laptop, and she tried everything. So now she's literally in tears. And I've never helped the daycare section of the church. I've helped the pastor and her systems and helped, you know, with the main secretary in their front office. And I've done work there, but not a lot of work, but I've done some work. I'm unfamiliar with this operation of the church with the daycare. So he gives her my card and she calls me Wednesday night. I already have work on Thursday. And it just so happens that Ken is with me and my older son. We're actually having dinner. And I go to Ken. I said, are you available to take care of one of my clients that he's familiar with? And he says, yeah, don't worry. I'll go over and take care of that. And I said, great, because this church is just down the street. And then that frees me up to go to the church. I bring my SATA to USB hard drive dock. So you could just pop the drive in, plug it into the USB port, and read all the data. So I figure that with this being crashed, I got to recover data. That's going to be pretty much what I'm probably going to have to do. And I have a laptop with me. I asked, do they have an external drive or something that I can use to copy the data? So this way it's not mine. So this way I back it up to something that they have. Yes. Now, they bought a brand new HP laptop that's Windows 8.1. They bought the cheapest version of the laptop. I think they spent $300 to be a replacement for this Toshiba laptop that died. Now, rather than try to spend any time resurrecting, she told me everything she tried to get this system running. And she said, just get the data off. So I opened the hard drive. I opened the back of the laptop, easily pop out the hard drive, pop it into my dock, and I'm able to figure out where this management database for the daycare system is. And I copy the database, and then I copy all the other relevant data that they need, and I get all of this backed up. It takes a few minutes to, we got to install the new software and do some updates for this management software, and then you got to register it. And then I'm able to import the database and get the database set up. So we're about an hour later. I'm now showing them the data, and they're all happy. They didn't lose anything. They have all of the information for all the parents. They were so worried because they have some parents that owe different amounts, and they're just lost without this database. One of the first things I said is, how are you backing it up? Now, they thought there was a backup just because they had an external drive. I know that they thought that just by plugging in that external drive, something magical was happening and the backups were automatically happening. And I run into a lot of people that think just because they buy this external drive and they plug it in, that it's backing up. I know that sounds crazy. A lot of people do not realize that you actually have to run a piece of software and tell what you want to back up and where you want to back it up to. So you have your source, your target, and you must set all those parameters up. Now that we have the database, I learn of this second function, which there is a long USB cable that goes downstairs. This is on the second level. It goes downstairs, and then it goes to a USB to serial cable that connects to the door lock, that then there's a keypad on the front outside of the building by the door that parents will go in and they will key in their code and the door will unlock. Well, this has been unavailable and they've had to put a guard on the door for the last 2 days because of the system crashing. This is where most of my time was spent, trying to get this time clock, sort of time card software to work with the physical door lock. The driver would not work for Windows 8. It just wouldn't work. and there would be the yellow exclamation point when you go into device manager every time. And it was for this serialed USB cable. So we call the manufacturer of the door panel, I get to, for lack of a better word, and they were of no help. They said this is just a common cable that they happen to provide, but they can't really troubleshoot this. I'm like, wait a second. You sell a turnkey solution here. Why can't you help us? All we need is a Windows 8 driver. He said the Windows 7 and Vista driver will work. It's on their website. We've downloaded it. We tried it. We tried everything. Could not get it to work. After spending an hour and a half of messing around and talking with them on the phone, we couldn't get it to work. So we started Googling, and we found someone that got this cable and modified the driver and was able to get it to work with Windows 8. And you had to follow some very specific instructions. And once we did that and it worked, we went down, tested the code, the door, it opened up. They were jumping up and down. They were so excited. So 3 hours, and it was tremendous. And it was one of those feelings when you solve something and you see how happy your client is, and they're just overwhelmed with that they're up and running. And that's what makes it worth it. I'm thinking to myself when I was driving away, it's one of the reasons I do what I do. And it's that pleasure and enjoyment of seeing and solving a problem like that that just made me feel so good the rest of the night. It was a tremendous feeling. So that was my late Thursday afternoon last week. I also had 3 laptops that I had to finish before Friday. And that's why there was no show last week, because I was going away Friday for the weekend. I wasn't coming back till Monday, and I knew I'd have no time to edit a show. So this is what I was working on. And what a pleasure. I can't tell you just how satisfied I am by that feeling, and they were so happy. And something I mentioned in the pre-show, and I wasn't going to mention it, but they actually paid me, the one person, I charge a very low rate compared to my normal rate when I'm working with them, and they actually paid me right on the spot too. So when I left, which I didn't expect, and that was just a bonus, and I think I was rewarded for doing such a good job. Uncle Al asked a very good question. And yes, I'm using the built-in Windows backup to back up their system to their external drive. So at least we'll have an image and a full backup, so I'd be able to recover that system if it was to crash again. So yes, good point. And I did set that up. As a matter of fact, I set that up while we were trying to resolve the cable issue and the driver issue, because I didn't want to lose track of that and forget that, because that was a very, very big point. One other project was a server migration. And this server migration, we'll call it a server migration, but it was really a peer system. It was a Windows XP system acting like a server, a central point for a file repository, and running title insurance software, title software for the housing industry for, I guess, you know what? It's Title Express. And this was the software that they use for managing all the titles for real estate. And this is a real estate agent. And I'm migrating from XP to a brand new Windows 7 fast system loaded up. And I want to go over the things that we ran into that caused this to be a 3-day affair, 3 different visits. So here you go. 1, Title Express. You really can't move by yourself. It's a SQL database, and certainly I installed SQL Express, and I was able to get that installed. But to move the database, there's a lot of custom work that only Title Express knows, and they do, and this is their way of making money. They don't charge a lot. They charge $100 an hour, and but you have to schedule that, and that's something we didn't realize going into the project. Second, something really big. There was a lot of data, that a couple hundred gigs of data, and we wanted to do this in one night. And when you're copying data in any project, the software that you have to use is SyncBack. Either that or RoboCopy. I love the free version of SyncBack. And if you're running it on workstation software, no problem. You can use the free version. You can't use the free version on a server. So what I was able to do when I do server migrations from real, like Windows Server 2008 or 2012 and copying files, I will use SyncBack Pro. So I own a copy. And if you're using SyncBack, it's well worth investing in the $39 or whatever it is for the Pro version. It's an incredible piece of software. Here I'm using the free version. I set it up to go from XP to the Windows 7, the directories to do the backup. When you copy all those files, if it runs into an error, it'll keep going and it will log what happened, what file it couldn't copy, and why. Maybe access was denied because someone had it open. You cannot just use the regular copy command when you are copying large amounts of files, because if it runs into a problem, it stops and you have to start over again. This was taking hours. We thought this would take maybe 3 hours. Well, 3 hours in, we weren't done. And I'm very surprised, because we replaced this small switch where these computers were plugged into a 5-port gig switch that had a 10 gig backplane. I was shocked that it was taking this long to copy. So we had to put it off. And this was last Wednesday night. And we had to say, we'll continue on Tuesday. Now, Tuesday of this week, that's when we learned that with Title Express, you got to schedule the appointment. So that appointment was scheduled for yesterday, Wednesday at 2 o'clock. So Ken, who works for me, was on site at 2 o'clock. It took Title Express 2 hours to migrate that. Got it working. Now, we had the license software problem with their time clock software that everybody uses to punch in and out. The owner did not have the right license. And now he's got to go to the company, get the right license, and so we can register that. Something else I had to, when we were there on the first night to try to make this all happen on Wednesday night, the owner swore he had the media for QuickBooks. And they use QuickBooks 2010. Well, I got there. He says, here's the box. I opened the box. The media is not there. Nobody knows where the disk is. I'm very lucky. I have a friend that is my bookkeeper that I do work with. We share some clients. He has QuickBooks 2010. I said, can you bring that on Thursday? I want to make a copy and have that. And he said, absolutely. You're going to like what I'm doing now. I have QuickBooks 2014 Pro for a client. I now have 2010. My friend Ray says, I have 11, 12, and 13. 2011, 12, and 13. This is great. I said, give me all them. And matter of fact, I picked them up today. I am building a USB stick with every version of QuickBooks that I've laid my hands on, because all you have to have is the different license. You can have the same install file, but it's so nice to have all of those QuickBooks, because I run into so many people with different versions that we may be having to convert, or I got to redo their system, and it's like, where's the media? So it's one of those things that you have to have a little luck. And I happened to come across those versions. Someone asked me, Mike, how do you come up with all the media for Office? Well, you know what? When you run into it and you see it, make a copy of it. You know, that's why I always had every version of Microsoft Office on a CD. I want every version of QuickBooks. You got to build a collection of softwares. I'm now going to transfer all that to one of my big external hard drives that I take with me consulting. And if I have a repository or a library of all the different software, no matter what I run into, I'll have most of it. Tuesday night, I was able to get QuickBooks going. We were able to get everything going except Title Express and the time clock software. One of the other things that I had to deploy for this was a VPN. And the solution that I recommended based on talking to the owner, talking to going over all their needs, LogMeIn Hamachi was the best solution for the VPN. They had three laptops that need to run the Title Express software and QuickBooks, and they want to access it quickly across a VPN. So I set up gateway mode. I made them buy the 1 year. It's $29 for up to 32 clients, I believe. And the secret of Hamachi, and I spent a show dedicated on Hamachi way back, I have the server set up as the gateway and then the clients set up as members. And that's the key. When you set up a gateway network scenario with Hamachi, you have to log into the admin panel, click edit, and edit, add and remove members. And as the clients connect to that VPN, they'll be listed because you have a unique ID and password in order to join the network, that private network. You can control who's a member and who's a gateway, and that's very important. So this peer server that's acting as the server, I make that the gateway. I leave everybody else just a regular member. And now when they connect with the Hamachi client, it's a piece of cake. We have map drives that map directly to the server. The software is local on the client. It's working great. That was another piece to this project. I think there's still some printing issues, and Ken's going to be on site tomorrow for a couple hours just to work that out. There's the scanning is not working going back to the server today, so that's another piece that he's going to be resolving. As a matter of fact, I'm going to look into that tonight after the show. I'm going to log in and see if I can see what I can see on the printer and try to fix it. Client met here at my house on Monday afternoon. They brought two laptops and a desktop, and she's from New York and made the journey down because I help her sister, who's an attorney in the area, is a client. And the job was not just cleaning the three systems, but also moving her mail system. She's using ProMail, and she wanted a more secure exchange-hosted solution. So, of course, SureWeb is my go-to service. So when I migrate her, something I learned that I wanted to share, and a lot of you might know this, I have not worked with a BlackBerry in a long time. So one of the things I was surprised, the BlackBerry supports ActiveSync, Exchange ActiveSync. So it was incredibly easy to set her up on the BlackBerry to access the Exchange hosted server. Piece of cake. So I spent some hours cleaning the systems here, getting that done, getting her mail converted. Her sister, the attorney, brought a stack of floppy disks, 20 floppy disks, that today I pulled out my external USB floppy drive that I have not used in a long time, but I'm glad I have it, plugged it in, read every single floppy disk, and they all read successfully. Took me a few hours, and I got everything set up in a directory on my hard drive. So now all I got to do is copy all of that to a USB stick for her. Now, this brought up an interesting point that I wonder, how are you handling the recovery of old media? I'm thinking of using one of my old systems. I'm literally thinking, hey, leave a 3.5 inch and a 5.25 inch drive and, you know, zip drive. I think I have a jazz drive parallel port. I'm thinking of having a small old system running XP, not connected to the network, so this way I don't have to worry about any security updates or anything, but just use that for a media conversion station. So I have access, so when someone brings me some old media that they want to read data from, I'm not scrambling and running around trying to find, you know, a way to convert that data. And I'm wondering what you're doing in your business, in your life, to when you have someone that comes across old data, how are you handling that? And what do you think of that idea? And what else should I be adding to this box? Because we want to put everything humanly possible that I connect to it so I can be in a good position if I'm handed some old media. Interesting working with floppies. Haven't worked with them. Man, they took a long time to read. And only 1.44 megs. And it's amazing that you look at that technology, and that was amazing, you know, way back years ago when we were using the floppy disk. And this is the 3.5 inch. Luckily, no one's handed me a 5.25 inch floppy, because I know I got a drive laying around here, but I'm wondering, I don't even know, do they make 5.25 inch USB drives? So now I want to talk about Apple's announcement this week. Apple announced the iPhone 6, the 6 Plus, the Apple Watch, and Apple Pay. Interesting that Apple Pay, this is technology that has been around to be able to use your phone to be able to pay. The difference is when Apple embraces it, they bring along the merchants. They have the clout to be able to force merchants into supporting this. So they have McDonald's, Disney, CVS, and all the, you know, a lot of big names are coming on board to support Apple Pay. And that's nice. And that's the difference. Apple may not have the latest, greatest technology, but when they get behind it, it seems like that changes the industry a little bit and moves things forward. Now, here's my take on the new iPhone. My family split. I have one of my sons that loves the Samsung. My wife is actually heading to a Samsung phone instead of the iPhone. I started looking at this and I looked at all the features. And I have to have an iPhone. I have no choice. And here's why. I looked at all of my retainer clients, and 95% of them, the owners of the company and the president or the owner who I deal with personally, helping them and supporting them, are iPhone users. They're all part of an Apple ecosystem. They have an iPad, an iPhone, maybe have an iMac. I am part of that Apple ecosystem. I have my iMac that when you hear music or anything that I play, like the voicemail that I'm going to play in a few minutes, that comes from my iMac. I'm recording on my MacBook Pro. I have an iPad Air and an iPad Mini. So I have to be part of that Apple ecosystem. I have no choice. I need to be able to support my clients. They're not Android users. So even if I wanted an Android, it doesn't make sense for me to go down that path, because I need to be an expert at syncing all the features, backing up the iPhone. I need to be part of all the major apps. I wanted to share that to give you another look. When you're thinking of that next smartphone, what do you do? Now, if you don't have to support people and you don't have to worry about clients and it's just on your own, then, yeah, you kind of have the freedom to pick what you want. But if you're a consultant and you're out there supporting different businesses and different clients, what do they use? What is their primary smartphone? And that's the one you want to use. Now, I still have a Samsung Tab 3 that I use just to make sure that I'm familiar with Android features and the Android OS. I got to make sure that I don't get too far away from that world. And I made sure that I have that tablet that I'll look at. And it's actually helped me in configuring the email clients and getting mail, because now I do have one client that the CEO and the COO are now Android users, so I'm able to help them. But that's the minority. I wanted to give you my take on that. So yes, next Friday, I will be in line at the AT&T store in my area, where I will be getting the iPhone 6. The Plus just is too big for me. I do not want a device that big for my phone. I don't want a phablet. And yes, that's what I think it's called, a phablet, which is a phone tablet. I have tablets. I don't need that big. Matter of fact, I wish that they had a 6 mini, which was the same size as the 5. That would have been my interest. So I'll go 6. One of the things I am going to pop for is go for more of the memory, where I'll probably get the 128 gig, only because my 16 gig, I'm running out of space. I don't have enough room for pictures, and there's lots of photos I'm taking for client work, doing a walkthrough of a new business, or someone that's going to be moving. So I'm taking a lot more client pictures for me, and that's starting to take up some space. And then I have a ton of apps, and that's taking up space. It's very important for me to have a large, as much storage as possible. I'll report back on how I make out with that. So now, an opportunity that has come up, consulting on podcasts. I was helping a client a few weeks ago, and you're going to love the question. Do you know anything about podcasting? I swear that is exactly what my client asked. Do I know anything about podcasting? And I took him right to my website and said, I've been doing this little tech show for 10 years. And he just started laughing. He's like, oh man, this is great. And he told me his plans for two podcasts that I am going to help him get set up. And I'm going to help him with all the hardware, the software. You know, of course, we'll use Audacity. We will decide where he's going to broadcast live. Is it going to be Ustream or what? I'll pick the best service. Just because I use Ustream here doesn't mean I'm going to pick that service for my client. Depends on what his market is, who he's going after. It has nothing to do with technology. So I'm going to be doing all of the back end. And that's going to be fun. That's going to be interesting. I don't have to worry about the content, but everything else and the delivery and getting it uploaded and getting it published on the website, that's going to be fun. Never thought of that as a consulting opportunity. So I will report back on the progress of that and certainly let you know when those podcasts will be up and available for you to be able to listen. Office 365 Home. I was at the airport getting ready to go to Florida, and I was with my wife, and this was a few weeks ago, and it was a Friday, and I needed to get a quick estimate for a proposal on a new business for the networking setup, and I had all of the estimates of what I needed, and I had them sort of jotted down, but I needed to put it in Excel. And I had my iPad Air with me, and I had purchased, it's interesting because it must have expired when TechNet expired, but I had that free version that TechNet allowed me to use, but I purchased the full home version of Office 365, which gave me a terabyte of storage, I was only able to put Office on one tablet, because it was the free personal version, but I needed the home version, which allows 5 computers, 5 tablets, the terabyte of storage. I now had full Excel, and they had just done the update to allow you to save your work as a PDF. This was great. I'm sitting, I have Amazon open, and I'm looking, you know, as I quickly go to Amazon and Newegg and different sites to get the prices. I'm putting together the listing of my item for my client, and it's actually a new client, and I total everything up, and I'm doing this on Excel, and I had a purchase from the Apple store, the Microsoft Office 365 Home, and it was $99 for the year. This might be the best investment I've ever made. And I'm so happy that now I can have it on all my devices. I don't have to worry. As much as I hate Office 2013, I need to stay current. I always need to have the latest version of Office, although my main system right here that I'm using is Office 2010, and I don't know if I'm ever going to move from it. They're going to have to get better with Office, because you know how I killed Office 2013. But it does allow you to have Office 2011 for the Mac. I have several Macs, so I got to be able to have multiple versions of all of this. And for $99, that's a great buy. Plus, you have Office Online. So I know a few of you have been writing in and singing the praises. I am finally drinking the Microsoft Kool-Aid as it comes to Office 365. I wanted to let you know that and share that, but it's really where I got sucked in. It was from the iPad that sucked me into that world by having the full version of Excel and the full version of Word accessible in that portable format I absolutely had to have. And then the terabyte of storage, I'm now starting to use OneDrive. And I never thought I'd be a OneDrive user, but now I'm in. So I'm starting to use it. And I wanted to share that because some of you may be in that situation and you start to add up what you're going to be paying. And it's like, wow, that's a pretty good price. I want to get into talking about hard drive encryption. Let's kick this discussion off with a voicemail from Scott.
Hi, Mike. This is longtime listener Scott from the Philadelphia, PA area. I heard on your last show you considered using Sophos Safeguard as a solution to encrypt your clients' computers. Similar to how you speak of BitLocker horror stories, I can speak the same about Sophos. The company I work for has been using Sophos since the days when it was actually called Unimaco. Sophos works by taking over your hard drive and replacing the booting OS with its own mini operating system. When you power on the PC, it boots into Sophos, in which you input your power on authentication, or you can have it set to auto boot, which then eventually passes booting over to the actual operating system, such as Windows 7. The problem is, this leaves a lot of room for corruption and problems to happen. I've seen computers fail to boot, boot loop, have blue screens, etc., which we found were almost always related to Sophos. Another thing is that Sophos adds, I guess you could call it a dummy user account to the PC, in which employees need to make sure they log into the correct user account with the Sophos icon. Another problem is when employees change their Active Directory password, it has to sync up with Sophos, or it constantly gives pop-ups asking for them to input their old or new password for it to synchronize up. This has generated a lot of tickets at our help desk. If you ever need to decrypt the drive to retrieve data, good luck. This procedure is time-consuming and hit or miss. Now let's talk about Sophos' support. There's two flavors of Sophos, Sophos 6 and earlier, and version 6.1 and later. 6.0 and earlier is compatible with XP, Vista, and 7, but not Windows 8 or 8.1. It's also not compatible with BIOSes in the new UEFI format, which is faster and more secure. You must use legacy mode if your BIOS supports it in order for Sophos to install and work properly. On the Mac, it's a similar story. Sophos 6 and earlier is compatible with Mountain Lion 10.8 and earlier, but with a big downside in that it disables the Mac's deep sleep mode, which allows for the ultra-long battery life that Macs are known for. It also causes issues with firmware updates and operating system updates as well. Now here's the real kicker. Sophos uses its own encryption engine on version 6 and earlier for both the Mac and PC versions. However, the only way Sophos was able to make itself compatible with Windows 8 and newer, and OS X Mavericks and newer, was to use the operating system's built-in encryption engine, which is BitLocker, in the case of Windows, and FileVault for the Mac. Sophos essentially gave up on their own encryption engine, and it took them over a year to even release the new version. During this time, my company got tired of waiting for Sophos to release the new version, so when we started deploying Windows 8 by default on all new computers, we just ended up using BitLocker for the encryption. Since we made the switch to BitLocker, we've seen nothing but benefits. Our help desk has seen less tickets, and employee satisfaction is up, as boot times were highly decreased and performance was highly increased compared to when Sophos was used back on Windows 7. Also to note, our company only uses solid-state drives for the past 5 years or so, as Sophos on a standard hard drive is so painfully slow it's unbelievable. Anyways, Mike, sorry for the long voicemail, but I just wanted to share with you my experience with Sophos, and I know you might have had some problems with BitLocker in the past, but I can tell you that in the case of our company's Dell Latitudes and Lenovo ThinkPads, we've seen a lot better success with BitLocker and have yet to see a complete failure with BitLocker compared to Sophos, which occurred several times a year. Keep up the great work with the show, and thanks for all the time you put into it. Take care. Bye.
Scott, thank you for taking the time to put that together. I'm shocked to know that Sophos, the way you've described it, I'm like, that's it. I was going to actually start testing with Sophos, and I've actually reached out to them, and now I'm not going to do that. I certainly don't want to jump out of the pan into the fire. Now, I have more nightmare stories on semantic endpoint encryption than I do BitLocker. Now, I guess I'm like now leaning back to BitLocker. Maybe that's the devil I know. So I'm thinking that might be certainly something to consider. I'm still torn. I still have TrueCrypt out there with a few clients. Let's keep going here. I have an email from John. And first, before I read his email, John, I received the NAS device today. Thank you so much, and I really, really appreciate that. And I ordered my NAS drives from Amazon, and they'll be here on Saturday. And I am going to set that up, and I will definitely be doing a show talking about that NAS device. So thank you, thank you. This is from John, and it's another drive encryption question. I frequently listen and anticipate the show, especially two recent topics you are discussing: antivirus, anti-malware, and encryption. I, along with you, am evaluating software in both of these areas, and I'm looking forward to the results and your decision on both of these items. With that said, I have a few comments on the encryption aspect and why I think I have settled on Microsoft BitLocker after test installs for about 3 months on 10 production laptops at a medical facility. 1. It has been rock solid in functionality with end users that have little to no computer knowledge. Installation of the software encryption is not leading to any increase in support calls or need for my interaction. In fact, most of the users did not even notice the upgrade to Windows Ultimate on their computers and the fact that the drives are now encrypted. 2. Full support of remote access unattended. While unattended remote supporting a system reboot is possible, that is not the case when using TrueCrypt. I know. That is one of the things. I have instant house call unattended on systems that have TrueCrypt. And when TrueCrypt, that's the one disadvantage of TrueCrypt. When it reboots, you have to enter a password before the system boots. Now, that's tremendous security, and I love it for that. But from a remote support standpoint, you can't remotely reboot the system. So I agree with what John is saying here. Alternative products, you must enter the password at a command prompt before the system will complete the boot. This is a deal killer for us, since I need to be able to remotely reboot servers and systems. Well, that is your answer. If you're in that situation where that's a deal breaker, then BitLocker, you've made your decision. It has to be BitLocker. Finally, and frankly, it is an easy sell. When you say Microsoft, customers know what you are talking about, and it provides a certain comfort level with them. Have you or any of your listeners been able to poke any holes in the case for adopting Microsoft BitLocker? Looking forward to your decision on an AV client. Thanks for all you do. Well, right now, just a little peek into the AV client. I'm using F-Secure and have settled on that for clients. And it's because of the remote management and a couple capabilities. And I'm getting hounded by everybody who's using GFI. I surrender, and I am going to look at that. So I right now have a lot of testing of F-Secure. BitLocker, I've seen problems with Lenovo laptops from financial advisors where we've had to rebuild the system where they've had more system corruption than I've seen in the past. So once this very big company, financial advisors, they started rolling out BitLocker, I have seen an increase in crashes. Less than the semantic endpoint encryption, but still there. So that's the only thing that I've witnessed so far. Now, I have two systems. This is not a big enough test. I have two systems right now in production with BitLocker. No problems. I was going to look at Sophos, but now what's listening to Scott's voicemail, boy, I do not want this other OS installed with the encryption. That's insane. That's not what I want to do. I don't want to complicate my support life. I want to make it easier. The needle seems to be pointing towards BitLocker. John, thank you for that. This is Mike. I'm a big fan of your show. Thank you for giving out fantastic free info and imparting your tech wisdom. I honestly don't think I'd have a tech job if it weren't for you. I have a quick question. Sorry if it's been answered, if you've answered this before. Do you know, and this is very interesting here because it ties in, do you know of a solution that will allow me to access a remote server, apply any updates, and then reboot if necessary while still maintaining the connection? For HIPAA reasons, this particular machine's hard drive has been encrypted using full disk encryption with TrueCrypt. Anything you can point me to would be appreciated. Take care and keep up the great work. Well, based on what you've just heard, you might want to decrypt it, make sure BitLocker is available for that operating system. I don't know what the server operating system is. Make sure first that it supports BitLocker, and also make sure that the BIOS supports the ability to handle BitLocker and the encryption with the TPM. So make sure the BIOS supports it and the operating system. And you might want to consider just convincing your client to not use TrueCrypt, use BitLocker. Then put instant house call on the server for remote support. And now you're going to be able to reboot the server with no issue and be able to support it. I think that's your answer. Anybody that wants to remotely support the system and you have to be able to remotely reboot, that eliminates a lot of encryption software out there. And you're sort of left with BitLocker. This is from Mike. Taz Cools in the chat. Firefox and Java. Thought I would share this with you. I was trying today to continue with my A+, Security Plus, and Network Plus certifications with CompTIA through Skillsoft. I had started it before leaving for Phoenix, and when I went back to continue, I was not able to log in with Firefox. I could have tried Chrome or IE, but I'm stubborn. They have a test to check your browser compatibility, and I passed all but Java. I went through all the solutions they had listed, and nothing worked. One of the other solutions was about going to about:config, and change a specific Java setting from false to true, but mine was already true. I had all but gave up for the night when I started listening to your last show about Firefox. All of a sudden, there was a click, and there it was. Ah, moment. The solution in my case is to type about colon config in Firefox address bar and then type Java in the search, then look for dom.ipcplugins.java enabled. In my case, it was false, so I toggled this to true. After that, was able to resume training. I was having no other JavaScript issues except for my training. Thank you for pointing me in the right direction. I always want to thank you so much for Phoenix. It was totally worth it. Would love for the next meetup to be maybe 2 days of live shows and then the rest sitting around and BSing. I really appreciate that, Mike. And I had such a great time meeting with everybody and the Phoenix meetup. It was just such a pleasure going out there, other than the heat, which was a pain. And I was able to deal with it because we spent a lot more time indoors than we did outdoors. But I had a great time. And we definitely will continue scheduling meetups in different parts of the country. I look forward to the next one. We're going to wrap everything up on a follow-up here on Unchecky. This is from Mark. I thought you may like to know that if you go into the advanced setting in Unchecky, there's a checkbox to disable the use of the host file. Also, go to Internet setting in Windows Start, search Internet options, highlight Internet options, then return. Connections tab, LAN settings. Now uncheck all the checkboxes. This will bypass any proxy set up by unchecked. And if you use a proxy, then just dial in your setting. Hope this helps all your listeners. I came across this by accident when my Chrome browser could not access the internet. This was after I had updated a host file for a user to block malware and the like. I use a program called Hostman to control the host file to turn it off and on, and turning the host file off did not let Chrome access the internet. So after a few hours of hunting on the web, I found a web page that said check your proxy setting, which I did, and found a proxy had been set up. Now, I did not set up the proxy, and Hostman does not use a proxy, so I think Unchecky may have set up a proxy as part of its install. By the way, if you get into problems with internet access, you should always check the proxy settings. This can save a lot of time, so need to stop seeing Unchecky just yet. But I've looked on the website, and there's nothing I could find on there about proxies, and will let you know if I do. Mark, thank you so much on the follow-up to Unchecky. I really appreciate it. Unchecky still I removed from my tool bag, but I'm going to look at some of the options, and maybe Unchecky has a place if we tweak it right. A little follow-up on Malwarebytes. I noticed that the update problem has seem to go away, and I've done nothing. So clearly they've done something at their server end, because a lot of systems that were having the update problem now seems to be solved. Malwarebytes Premium is updating and doing its job, and it's been going better. So I'm happy to report that. And I just wanted to share that with you. I want to thank everybody for continuing to use my Amazon link. And that's amazon.micnation.net. Your price is the same, but a small commission comes back to the Mike Tech Show, and I really appreciate it. It's so important to support the show, and it helps me continue to podcast every week. And now that the summer's over, you're going to see more of a regular schedule, and I hope to be doing, you know, back on a schedule of recording every week. You're definitely going to be hearing more tech vets. I want to thank everybody for using that link. And again, that's amazon.micnation.net. If you're in the computer business, or you know anybody doing computer repairs, doing anything, relating to the fixing of computers, consulting, and the technology arena, you need the right legal forms, marketing materials, and information to help protect yourself and your business. And the way to do that is TechNibble's Computer Business Kit version 3. There'll be a banner in the show notes. Click on that. Trust me, it's a great purchase to set you forward on making the right decisions with invoices, forms, and protecting yourself with the right legal language when you engage with a new client, with someone, when you're picking up their computer, when you're returning the computer, all of the forms. That for you to try to do this on your own, it's an impossible task. I know. And I use these forms. Check it out. You're going to like it. And then also remember to visit instanthousecall.com. Give that a try for remote support of your clients. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. That's it. Thank you for downloading and staying subscribed. I really appreciate it. And I'll see you next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.